3 home runs, 4 hits, 5 RBIs. That was Mookie Betts' Thursday night against the Padres last night. And all the things that we love about baseball kind of came up last night. You just never know what you're going to get. And all of a sudden, you got a special moment where he becomes just the third player ever to have 6 three-home run games. You just don't know when those bats are going to come alive. They did for the Dodgers last night. And you're going to get a whole bunch of those things when you have Mookie Betts on your team. It's so exciting knowing this is the very – they've played 20 games. Mookie Betts has been a Dodger for 20 games. He's going to be here for 12 years. I just can't wrap my head around that.
Yeah, there's going to be more of this. There's going to be more, you know, drama. There's going to be more intrigue. There's going to be more special days. There's going to be more, you know, 3 home run games for him. So, you know, at some point, he's going to be the only guy with, you know, multiple games with 3 home runs in one game. So he's going to be that guy. And, you know, it's a heck of a pickup. And what Bob Nightingale said when we had him on, you know, he's been this guy for a while. This is not new. So you can kind of lean into this and get comfortable watching him because he's just special. You know, when Key said you guys were having that little discussion, and it was funny. I went from being on the show to listening. It was great, but no, it was awesome. It was awesome. But about Bellinger, I mean, is he going to be that guy? Is this just a 3 to 4 year flare, or is he really that good? But I think with Mookie Betts, I mean, you can settle into this and, you know, you can appreciate this for the next 10 years. There's going to be a lot more to come. It's fun now, and in 5 years, it's still going to be just as much fun as watching him right now.
Yeah, I think the idea that Cody Bellinger had his career year last year and that we're always going to be waiting for that to come around again is exceedingly unlikely, and here's why. Yes, statistically, it may be the best year of his career. There's a chance he will never win another MVP because there's a bunch of good players in Major League Baseball, but watching what he does – watching the skills that he has. You got to keep in mind that because he's so tall and because he hits a bunch of home runs, you think of him as a slugger. He's an athlete. Okay, Cody Bellinger plays center field, for God's sakes.
Mm-hmm, he can move.
Cody Bellinger last season had the fastest time in baseball from home plate to first base. Cody Bellinger was the fastest guy in the league. Okay, he can move. And so that he has some skills. His swing is a little weird because he stands so tall and takes that big uppercut. But these are things that are not going to go away. His athleticism is not going to go away. His ability to find the ball is not going to go away. He's off to a really bad start. Just like last year when he was hitting 400 through the first 30 games of the season, you're saying, hey, look, he's not a 400 hitter. I'd be surprised if he hit 300 for the season. And I remember LZ and I were talking about it, and he barely kept it over. It's, you know, after the first month, 400. Next month, 375. Next month, 325. It just starts to drop because stuff comes back to where it's supposed to be. This is the exact same thing, just in the, he's not a 160 hitter. He's like a 275 guy. He's going to get it back up there. It means that hits are coming. This is not a Joe Charbonneau or Pat Listash or Ron Kittle or Kevin Moss, a guy that had a good season or two and then disappeared. He's a much better player than that.
You know, I used to hear from guys, and I should have asked Key this, because I think he played for Parcells, right?
He did.
And Parcells used to play games with guys, and just to get more out of them and more out of the team, it was all towards winning, but it would seem unfair to the guy. Like, all of a sudden, a starter would be demoted, and there would be no discussion. You'd walk in, the depth chart was changed. All of a sudden, I'm behind you? Like, what happened? And just to see how you would react. So, you know, Dave Roberts and, you know, having to be the Bellinger whisperer. Maybe it's just, hey, look, man, I have all the confidence in the world. It's not all about Mookie right now. I know it seems like that, but you're our guy. Even if it's not true, but just to get the guy back on track, that's all you need. That's what you need. So maybe what's going on with him is between the ears. And more often than not, it is in baseball, unless there's something physical. But, yeah, I think this is just a feel thing. And, you know, it'll happen. It'll click for him. Maybe he has to shut out part of the world so he can be successful. But you know, Mookie Betts, I think, will continue. I think he's used to being the front runner. He's used to being the catalyst for everything, for championship teams. So as long as – and it may take some guys a while to get used to not being the guy for a minute, but I think eventually everyone learns their roles, understands their importance to winning, and, you know, once he starts hitting, once he starts getting close to what he was last year, that MVP-type season, coupled with Mookie Betts, That's going to be a tough out. And it also helps with the argument about who's the best player in baseball.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if Mookie Betts actually had a partner?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I mean, like last year's Bellinger with Mookie Betts now? I mean, come on. How good can Mookie Betts be with that guy?
Yeah, well, they'll still protect each other in that scenario.
Right.
That you pick your poison. You can pitch to either one of these guys. Either one of these guys is going to take you out, and it doesn't matter. There is no good choice. One's right-handed, one's left-handed. You can't really match up with your pitching all that much because you got to pitch to three guys in a row now. It's a really exciting dynamic. I like the word you said a second ago. There's a big part of this that is feel. And especially when it comes to hitting, there's a ton of like mechanics like any other sport. You need to do some things right if you're going to have success, but there's a whole bunch of feel that goes involved in it. And last week before you were on, DeMarco, we were talking about the idea that Cody Bellinger was tweaking his swing a little bit. He was tinkering with it in the offseason because, you know, obviously in an effort to get better. But when you lose that feel, if I'm trying, you know, if I usually do A and I'm thinking, you know what, I'm going to try a little more B. And I start doing B, and it's not really happening. I'm trying to do B. It's not really happening. And then I'm like, all right, I'm going to go back to A. Well, you kind of might have lost the feel for A a little bit. It might take you a minute to find it back, and that could be where he is too, where he's just kind of in between two different swing thoughts. And that's no man's land, man. When you start thinking a bunch, that feel is out the window.
Yeah, clear the mechanism. That was in some movie, some Kevin Costner movie about baseball. You know, I went through something like that, and it was funny. Leslie O'Neill became a teammate, and that was a new kind of hell for me. I wasn't used to guys like him, and he kept giving more credit to my backup, and it really did affect me. I mean, like in drills, one-on-one drills, you know, when I won, he wouldn't say anything. When my backup won, he would just go nuts over the guy. And it felt like, man, are you undermining me? You know, what the hell's going on? And it affected me, Travis. I had more encroachment and offsides and roughing the passer calls than I ever had in my entire life. And I just couldn't for the life of me get a sack because I was pressing. And I can remember the moment I just said, you know what, the hell with it. It's not working. Let me just slow down and work on my technique. I don't even care if I get there. Let me just work on technique. Let me finish something. And eventually all that stuff started to fall. But I do remember, man, it was hard to come to work. It was just really, really hard. And it just seemed like all the attention, all the confidence they had kind of went away because it felt like this dude was undermining me. And until I said for myself, I am done listening to you, it really threw me off my game.
Well, you use the other word that I think is everything too, and that's confidence. I don't care what the sport is. If that's not there, it's really hard to perform at a high level. The NBA playoffs are getting ready to get started. Om Yongmasuk from ESPN, he's going to join us next. We'll break it all down. That's coming up on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN. All right, getting ready for the NBA playoffs. Still trying to figure out who the Lakers are going to play. It's going to be Portland or Memphis, that first play-in game on Saturday. Maybe we'll get another one on Sunday. Joining us right now to talk a little NBA basketball is Om Yongmasuk, who covers NBA for ESPN. Om, good morning. How you feeling?
What's going on, guys? How you doing?
Good. So is there a chance that we have been worrying about this, the Damian Lillard component of this, and that Memphis might be able to beat Portland twice this weekend? Give me a shot.
Man, there's always a chance. Listen, I mean, what we can hope for, and I think what we've gotten for the most part, has been really great basketball games and the closest thing to March Madness in the NBA that we can get. I mean, I think you would agree that for the most part, a lot of these games have been exciting. They've meant something. This whole play-in thing that none of us really knew what was going to happen and what was going to transpire has worked perfectly. I mean, the only thing I feel bad about is that I kind of wanted to see Phoenix against Portland. I feel bad about that for Memphis because certainly Memphis earned its way in there at the very last second to kind of win and get in. But I would have liked to have seen Phoenix be rewarded for going undefeated and then see what that would have been like. But, I mean, that game against Brooklyn last night felt like an NCAA game. It just felt like, you know, a do-or-die game. That, I mean, how many times have you seen a regular season game at the very end, it ends with a defensive stop, basically, or a miss, and, you know, Damian Lillard just looked exhausted. He looked like he played a game seven, and this is exactly what Adam Silver wanted when he drew up this plan.
That leads me right to my next point, and it seems like it's going to be Portland unless Memphis pulls off a miracle or wins twice. But how long can Dame keep this up? Does he have enough to get by the Lakers, or does he have anything left after what he's had to do in that bubble?
This is a great question, and this is something that I think we really need to keep an eye out on throughout the playoffs, because teams are playing every other day. Yes, as Kawhi Leonard pointed this out the other day, you don't have to deal with travel anymore. You don't have to deal with landing in a city, finding a routine, getting into a hotel. For example, he said, we played Denver the other night. Denver was supposed to be the home team. We're not dealing with Denver's altitude. Mm-hmm. But you have a game every other night, which normally in the NBA, sometimes there's two days, if not three, sometimes four games. It depends on the TV schedule, things like that. Damian Lillard now has been going at a playoff pace, and I would say almost like a game seven playoff pace now for several games. So the fact that there's going to be back-to-back games, perhaps, potentially, on Saturday and Sunday, and this was something that I thought, had Portland got in, I've said this before this, when this whole setup happened, I said, one thing the Lakers don't want is to face a hot Portland team with a lot of momentum and a healthy Damian Lillard who is hot. And I'm not saying the Lakers are going to lose in the first round, but it just would have been a harder first round than the Lakers needed. Because when you have a team that comes in rolling in hot, that's already felt like it's been winning playoff games, that's just something the Lakers don't need to deal with, especially a hot Damian Lillard and a really red hot Damian Lillard. But now that I'm watching it happen, I'm kind of starting to think, like, Damian Lillard may be running out of gas when he heads into the Lakers. And the Lakers have been, not looked great, right? They've looked a little vulnerable. Their shooters haven't been shooting well. But you know what? I do kind of feel that LeBron James and Anthony Davis have been pacing themselves a little bit, and let's see what happens in the playoffs. But Damian Lillard looks like he could be running out of gas when he gets to the Lakers, especially if he has to play two games this weekend back-to-back.
Om Young Masuk joining us here on The Morning Show. And pre-pandemic, pre-shutdown, it felt like the Lakers and the Clippers had separated themselves from the rest of the Western Conference. Maybe not by record necessarily, but those were the two teams to beat. Does it still feel like that to you? Is it a two-horse team or a two-horse race in the West, or can we throw Denver and Dallas and OKC and maybe Houston in there as well? Portland, even though they're an eight seed because all the reasons that you just mentioned, is it more open than we thought going into the bubble?
Maybe a little bit, just because I think the Lakers haven't looked great, and I think we're going to find out if indeed LeBron and AD and the rest of the crew kind of used this cushion that they had to just kind of pace themselves. Maybe LeBron got a little bit bored, which is something that I heard, you know, a little bit, or maybe something that we're all guessing, and that he's going to enter his playoff mode, the infamous playoff mode mentality this weekend, which I definitely can see. Let's say this about the other teams. Houston definitely is dangerous if Russell Westbrook can come back and it's healthy. He's hurt right now, and so that obviously impacts things greatly for them, because if he were healthy, him and James Harden are the two type of guys that really could make things difficult on a team just because they have that firepower. Oklahoma City is a team that I feel like will make things ugly, and that might have a quality in the bubble with no fans there to really juice you up, no home court advantage. A team like Oklahoma City that can play great defense, that can hit shots at the end and win close games, if they make things ugly, who knows what that will be like in a bubble in the playoffs, because I do think we're about to see another level of games that we haven't seen in these seeding games. Denver has not been healthy at all. If Denver can get healthy, Gary Harris has been banged up, Will Barton has been banged up, but in the meantime, they've had a young guy like Michael Porter Jr. who has stepped up and shown them that he can be that extra dimension that they really need in the playoffs, a third athletic scorer who can create his own shot, hit outside threes, and be a big target for Nikola Jokic. This is something they did not have in the playoffs last year. If they can get healthy, if Porter Jr. can continue to do this, they might have a chance to be a team that could upset the Lakers or Clippers. But I still, with all that being said, don't see that happening. As long as the Lakers don't play like they played in the last week, I think they're going to ramp it up now. I still think it'll be Lakers-Clippers in the Western Conference Finals.
You know, I love it. I think that's an underappreciated skill, what you said about making things ugly. I mean, it's hard work to make a fluid team look bad. And, I mean, that's when that's a game plan, I mean, it's tough to do, but I appreciate that. But going back to the Lakers and the Clippers and just the bubble situation and looking at demeanors and how LeBron plays, he's energetic. He feeds off the crowd, and Kawhi Leonard couldn't be more different. It seems like when you get down right down to it, those two guys, the way this NBA, the way this playoff scenario is going to unfold in the bubble and whatnot, it seems like it favors more a guy like Kawhi than it does LeBron.
I would argue that the bubble favors the Clippers more than the Lakers, because remember, if we are lucky enough to get a all-LA bubble battle, if we had not had a pandemic and that had gone down here in Staples Center in a best-of-seven series, you can make the argument that it would have been seven straight home games for the Lakers, even though this is the LA Clippers home, because LA Clipper home games often feel like a Laker game, not from the atmosphere or anything like that, because they are two different things. But Laker fans will make it sound like that they are, there's more than half of the Laker fans are there in the building cheering for the Lakers. So when you take that away from the Lakers, and now you make it a neutral environment where, yes, Kawhi Leonard really didn't care. It doesn't feed off the fans. It never looks like it. He looks like a cyborg out there. And where the Lakers at times do kind of look, you definitely, LeBron feeds off the crowd. He's said it numerous times that he doesn't know what it's like. He's getting used to what it's like playing without fans. It's just weird. Guys like Dwight Howard, who will make a big play, feed off that energy of the crowd, really get things going. JaVale McGee, all those guys. Whereas the Clippers, yeah, you know, Patrick Beverley, Montrezl Harrell, that they tend to be more like the villain who will feed off a road crowd. But they're also guys that are going to bring their own energy all the time and basically fire up guys and juice guys up. I would say this benefits the Clippers if the two teams face each other. And it's a really fascinating part of this bubble that we're in basically a neutral environment. And now we get to really kind of see, it's almost like everything's equal. Kawhi Leonard said this the other day, seating doesn't matter inside this bubble because you may have home court advantage, but it doesn't mean anything because everything's neutral.
One more quick one before we let you go. How much pressure is on Anthony Davis heading into these playoffs? This is a guy that has been considered one of the best players in the league for a while now, but does not have a ton of playoff success. And now he's on the favorite. He's on the number one seed. He's teammates with LeBron James. How much of this lands on Anthony Davis and pressure heading into these playoffs?
I don't know if he's feeling a lot of pressure or if there's really a lot of pressure being put on him, but I will say this. In order for the Los Angeles Lakers to win a championship or even just get to the finals and get past the Clippers if they face each other, Anthony Davis, to me, not LeBron James, is the guy who has to take over games and dominate. Because when he dominates and he plays at a, I'm not even going to say a top five level, because we've seen top five, I'm going to say a top two or three level, the Lakers are not going to be beaten. The Clippers cannot match up with Anthony Davis. They are going to have to double team him. They can't defend him the same way that they have the luxury of defending LeBron James. As great as LeBron James is, the Clippers are built to have multiple waves of elite defenders, long guys, and get physical with LeBron James. On the other hand, if Anthony Davis dominates and plays like the best center in the league, that is a massive problem for the Clippers or any other team, because it's just, he's too hard to defend. He can hit shots from the outside. He can hit on the inside. He can rebound. He's defensively, he can be the defensive player of the year. He's a candidate for sure. So he can dominate in so many different levels. And now if the Clippers have to double team him, that opens something else up for one of the other shooters or for LeBron James. And that's the same thing for every other team. If Anthony Davis raises his level because of LeBron James being that pass first type of guy, if Anthony Davis plays like a superstar, the Lakers are going to be incredibly hard to beat, and that's going to be something difficult for all the other teams to match up with. That's where the pressure is on Anthony Davis.
Om Yungmasuk covers the NBA for ESPN. Om, good to talk to you again. We'll talk to you again soon. Thanks.
Thanks, guys.
All right, DeMarco, let's go back to the NFL. Let's talk about some new faces in some new places, specifically Tom Brady at 41 years old. What are the expectations there? That's next on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN.
Hello, ESPN LA.
Oh, boy.
Curtis, I don't know if you know what you just played right here, but this is Mysterio's music. And I was thinking with LZ moving to the afternoon.
Mysterio's there.
Deleted this from the rack. Mysterio's not in the house, is he?
Mysterio's there, Travis.
Hello, Travis.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, no.
What is that?
Mysterio.
On vacation. Mysterio is always here with you. Watching.
Mysterio, I thought you were in Palm Springs. I did not think that you would be calling me today.
We all have a little bit of Mysterio in us, Travis. That is the beauty of Mysterio.
Oh, my goodness.
It's that deep down inside, we all want a little mystery.
Oh, my God.
DeMarco, let me help you out here, DeMarco. This
Please.
Is Mysterio. Mysterio shows up periodically on the morning show and makes me, in particular, very uncomfortable. So if you have any questions for Mysterio, now is your opportunity.
Do you know where I live? Do you know my phone number? Is that you in my closet?
Very
right
quickly
now?
Through my network of fellow Mysterio followers. It would take no time at all to find where you live, how you live, and who you are living with.
Okay, you're freaking me out. Stop, please. No more of that.
So you ready, LZ? Are you ready to go to afternoons? You're all set?
Well, you know, there have been a couple of things, Travis, that I've come to realize with the change. Number one, I can now smoke during Sunday night football because I don't have to be concerned about being a little hungover early in the morning the next day. I can smoke through the whole game.
Nice.
And just go to sleep and wake up when I wake up and be prepared for the afternoon with no repercussions whatsoever. And had someone told me that the first time out, I would have done Mason and Ireland first before the morning show. This is
wow.
a good hookup.
I like it. It's the little things, right, LZ?
It's
the little things.
I was watching CNN, and I was like, oh, I've never seen this person before. And I go, oh, because you're on air and you're not watching CNN at this time. And now you are. And
yeah,
you will be able to going forward. It's kind of crazy.
There's a whole world out there that takes place between 6 and 10 every morning that we're kind of not privy to. That's something that we never really.
I'm
holy smokes. People go out to breakfast? What in the world is going on out here?
You know what? I discovered that breakfast thing you speak of, and I thought breakfast was really just me reaching in my hand in my cereal box and just getting some, you know, shredded wheats out. But apparently, people are still cooking bacon and actually eating it during
yeah.
our show. And so
every day.
Now I get to participate in this.
How long were you guys together total?
Your 2 years?
4 years.
Yeah,
wow.
four years for Key and LZ, two with George and two with me.
Wow. I mean, it's fun. I mean, Key and then LZ and Trav, I mean, you know, it's like the end of an era, but you guys aren't going anywhere. It's just you're splitting up.
We're all still here.
Yeah, it's like the band split up, but you're still around. I hope someday you'll do a little reunion tour or something.
Well, you know, I really call us the new edition of ESPN LA.
Ah.
You know, as a group, people know us. But then, you know, Belle Biv DeVogue over here, Ralph Tresvant, you know, clearly Travis is Bobby Brown. So he'll
I was going to say, wow.
Clearly. Yeah. That goes well. Yeah, you didn't even have to say that.
Morales is Johnny Gill. We'll let you guys figure that part out.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. Well, then, yeah. LZ, are you responsible for people getting to vote at Dodger Stadium?
I am not going to take full credit for that. I will simply say this. About a month ago, when I had the opportunity to write the Times front page column on John Lewis and his life, I've had opportunity to speak with numerous times and in a lot of ways am inspired by his life, and my work kind of reflects that. I am a pro good trouble kind of guy. And have always been a good trouble kind of person. And so when I wrote the piece, I included a passage about what it means to make good trouble. And I suggested on the front page that the stadiums around the city, Dodger Stadium, Staples, LAFC, blah, 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 this group that formed the alliance that I broke before that, all the 11 teams forming together to try to fight just social justice, I then suggested that they open up their stadiums, their empty stadiums, to serve as polling places because I could see what was happening with our
wow.
social service, in addition to the fact that we also are still very much in a pandemic, and as many opportunities you can create social distancing, we should try to do that. And so I wrote that a month ago, and I was very happy to see that the Dodgers and LeBron James had teamed up to do just that. Now, again, I'm not going to sit up here and take all the credit for it. You know, I don't know what the true genesis of all of this is, but I am happy to know that they are utilizing the space to try to help democracy. You know, because what's happening right now with the Postal Service, if you don't know, you need to look it up. It's very disturbing. And so what the Dodgers are doing is extremely important given what's happening with the Postal Service, not just in California, but all around the country. So my hope, gentlemen, is that other stadiums, other owners, other sports decide to do the same thing to help alleviate the stranglehold that's happening with the Postal Service by utilizing their stadiums to create healthy social distancing atmospheres for voting.
See, this is why I was always an LZ fan, Travis, and I still feel bad that he was yelling at me at a stadium and he thought I big-timed him. I had
headphones on. I'm sorry. Right. I forgot about that.
I would have ran up and shook and said hello, but it seems to me this is who you are, this is what you do, and sports is just the fun side of you. But this is really who you are. This is really why you're here. Am I close?
I definitely appreciate that. People ask me all the time, which do I love covering more, politics or sports? And I just always say yes, because in a lot of ways, sports saved my life. Mm. And I'm not even BSing. I mean, I can remember, and I grew up in an abusive household. My stepfather physically abused me. And what used to give me peace of mind was reading the NBA Almanac. Remember those big old thick books? Every year with all the stats in it. I would read and memorize all the stats. I know arbitrary Michael Cage numbers and Boyce Hart numbers for some reason because of the Almanac. And so, you know, whether it was an outlet for me to go and just kind of get lost in steam, or as I said, late at night when I felt alone, sports was always there. So you're asking me to choose between my children. And I know it feels as if, you know, politics is where my passion is. You really need to sit with me at a barbershop.
Wow.
If you can go? If you question whether or not I care about sports. I actually punched somebody when I was in college about Warren Moon.
So don't
ask me. Yeah. Well, you know.
Don't pro or, about Warren pro Moon. Or con Warren Moon.
Why would you punch somebody over Warren Moon?
Well, we got into an argument, and he was talking about how Warren Moon wasn't ready for the league. And my thing was, the league wasn't ready for Warren Moon. Right. And we went back and forth, and eventually he said some things to me that he shouldn't have said. And so instead of talking, this is back when I was, you know, in my 20s, whatever. Instead of talking, I just punched him in the face, and we got into a fight.
That's a long right hand.
LZ, I know, but when you and I were doing the show last week, you said that your goal when you went on vacation was to be in the pool and drinking the entire time. So I don't know if you got a chance to see it last night, but Mookie had three, but not after my guy Seager got the game going with his home run right after coming off of a couple of games being hurt.
Well, so Travis, you know this. When you love sports, you're never vacationing from sports because this never worked to begin with. We're all, gentlemen, very blessed that we get to do what we love, you know, because then it's not work, right? So I'm not vacationing from sports. So hell yeah, I saw what Mookie was doing. And yes, your boy Seager, the MVP of the league.
Thank you.
Certainly stepped in.
That's really all I wanted, LZ, was that sentence right there. I'm good. That's really all I was looking for.
Urias' performance. I was happy with Urias, you know, while I've been on vacation. I was happy to see the Lakers starting to knock three-pointers while I was on vacation. I'm assuming they didn't want me to see it while I was working, but they wanted me to see three-pointers go down while I was on vacation. So I appreciate that. I saw Dame Lillard decided that he's just going to make y'all forget about the last dance, and it's going to be the Dame Lillard dance, and we're all just dancing to his music. He's very frightening. We'll see what happens in the game against Memphis because they almost lost last night.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm staying on top of it. Plus, you know, I did some ABC stuff about Kamala Harris, you know, making history. So, you know, I'm still dipping my toe in work because at the end of the day, my work is what I love, and you don't vacation from where you love.
All right, LZ, I'm glad you called. I'm glad that we got to touch base again. I will be listening to you in the afternoon.
Don't you ever do that Mysterio stuff to me again.
You lying, Travis. You ain't listening.
Well, no, that's probably true. That was a lie. You caught me. I'll cop to it. That's a lie. But you can enjoy your sleep. That is true. I'm still going to be getting up in the morning, but it'll be good. We'll talk. I will talk to you, whether it's on your show or Key's show or somewhere between, very, very soon. Good to hear from you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Love working with you, Travis. We'll keep working together. And listeners, once again, thank you so much for opening your hearts to us. The Morning Show, absolutely loved you guys. And we're not torn apart. We're just new addition, doing our own projects. So you can still support us all.
All right, so we just got a chance to talk to LZ right there. We talked with Key a little bit earlier in the day, DeMarco, and I just want to take a minute or two here to say thank you to both of those guys. Like they've both said, and Key mentioned it, I know a few people have reached out on social media to me. I'm going to be a part of Keyshawn's new show. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin starts on Monday morning, and I'm going to be a part of that show. I'm going to be popping on a few times an hour, offering some of my thoughts along the way, talking a lot of the things that are going on here in town, whether it's the Lakers or the Dodgers, the Clippers, LAFC, all the things that are going on here in town. So I'm going to be a part of that. LZ obviously is going to go into the afternoons with George, but we'll all still be here. To those two guys in particular who I've done the show with for the last couple of years, thank you to them. They did not know me. I did not know them, but they made me feel incredibly welcome from the jump. And not everybody does that, and they did. And I'm incredibly grateful to them. It's been a blast to do the show with them the last couple of years, and I made two new friends, and I hope that they feel the same way. So that has been great. Chris Morales, got to spend some time with him yesterday as well. Chris and I have known each other for over 20 years. Chris and I have become very good friends over that time, and he's been great. And he was an important part of that show as well. To everybody else, including you, Jorge, who you and I have done the Lakers together, we've done SC together, we've done some Ram stuff together, and we've done this show together. You are my amigo on this program. You are my amigo at that station, so I look forward to getting stuff with you moving forward. Curtis filling in this week. Everybody else, Raj, of course, has been the backbone of this thing for a very, very long time, thanks to him. But DeMarco, you're still stuck with me. I'm still doing the Rams every single Sunday, so I'm going to be the one firing questions at you going through this for the next Rams season, for the next couple of years at least. So you're not done with me yet, my friend.
Good. I feel blessed, man. I love doing radio with you. This has been a fun week. I enjoy listening to you guys when LZ comes on and Key came on. And it's fun to do the show and chop it up with you, but it's also more fun for me to listen. So, you know, forgive me for being a little sad. You know, I'm not going to hear you guys together, but like you said, I'm still going to hear you guys just in different parts of the hour or different parts of my day. So I think you guys are fantastic. Anytime I had to fill in, it was a well-oiled machine. It was great. So, you know, great radio. Great radio is great radio. It's been a lot of fun. You know, there's some things we have to work out about Mike Trout and Mookie Betts, I'm sure, at some point.
Yeah, only some of us need to work that out. The rest of us know the truth. There are a few people that are trying to work it out. Hey, but look, you know how this goes. You've played in the NFL for a long time, obviously, and had a great deal of success there. But you've been doing this, like you mentioned earlier, Best Damn, you were part of that for a long time. This is just the way that it goes. You know, you kind of move from one thing to the next. You make some friends, hopefully, along the way. And we're all still here. So it is fantastic.
Yep.
Before I talk to you, before the first NFL game, before we get there, your prediction for the Rams coming into this season is what exactly? I've heard as low as 5.
Playoffs.
I've heard as many as 10. Where are you?
Playoffs. It'll be a playoff season as long as Jared Goff stays healthy. If you lose guys, if you lose some key guys, then, you know, it is what it is. But this will be a playoff run, wild card or what have you, winning the division outright. But yeah, I think Jared Goff takes a step forward. I think Aaron Donald continues to be that guy. I think Jalen Ramsey locks it down. And, you know, I hate to say it, but, you know, the more we go on with this three-headed monster running back and Sean McVay leading the way, I think this running back by committee could be the way to go to replace a Todd Gurley. So, yeah, I think this season will be successful. Successful means into the postseason, and then we'll see where you're seated from there. But successful is making the postseason, giving yourself a chance to win a Super Bowl.
Just got to get in, and then anything can happen from there. All right, for the last time, this has been The Morning Show. Don't forget, Key, J. Will, and Zubin coming up on Monday. Then we got Mike Greenberg. I'll be a part of that show as well. Max Kellerman, Mason in Ireland, all new lineup, and we're going to finish it off with LZ and Sedano in the afternoons. We will see you then.